Hi, and welcome to the next podcast for financeprofessor.com. We are again speaking on the relief mission that we are sponsoring, the Bona Responds from St. Bonaventure to work down in the Gulf Coast over spring break. Today we are fortunate to have Larry Orsini. Larry is a former accounting professor at St. Bonaventure. He just retired and has spent a good portion of this semester and this coming semester down in the Gulf Coast region, from pretty much everywhere from New Orleans to Biloxi and all points in between. Hi, Larry.
Hello, Jeff.
So I guess there's a lot of things we can start with, but I guess the most important question is what led you to go down there? Why did you head down in the first place?
Well, as everybody did, I saw all of the destruction on TV, thought I saw the destruction on TV, and the Gulf Coast and New Orleans is one of my favorite areas of the country, and I just felt, I think it was a calling. I was compelled to go there, and after a while, this was just so overwhelming that I decided to go down there. I tried to sign up with some of the larger organizations, and at that point they were just not that organized at taking volunteers. And so finally, my wife and I discussed it, and I packed my things in my van, and I just took off for New Orleans without really knowing what I was going to do when I got there or where I was going to stay or anything like that. And so I just left. And I left on a Monday morning. But as things turned out, my wife called me that Monday and told me that Habitat for Humanity was building houses in Jackson, Mississippi, and was one of their pilot cities. So I contacted them while I was on the road, and by Tuesday afternoon, I was framing up houses for Habitat for Humanity. So it just was quirk of circumstances, I guess, and a calling to go down there.
And so how soon was this after the hurricane?
This was about the third week in August. So it was about four or five weeks. I was actually the fourth week in August. It was about four or five weeks after the hurricane.
And could you speak a little? I know when you were down there, I spoke with you a couple times, and it's unfortunate that we really can't portray it accurately or perfectly, but just the overwhelming destruction that you saw as you were going through, and what was going through your head. I mean, I know I've done it online and I've told people, but I really don't know if words do it justice, but could you give it a shot?
Sure. I'll try, but I in the same situation that you were in, Jim, we've come back with pictures and so forth, and we just haven't, it's hard to describe to people. My wife just gave me a note here. She says I left September 26th, so I was off by a month. In any event, I was down there about 5-6 weeks after the hurricane. And when I got down to New Orleans, to answer your question, when I got to New Orleans, I got there on a Friday night, and Saturday morning I really wanted to do something over the weekend, so I decided to go up to Covington. So I took the Interstate 10, which runs right through the northeast part of New Orleans, and it goes through some of the worst areas. Now, when I got down there, it was right after they had pumped out most of the water, but the city of New Orleans, the northeast section, was like an absolute ghost town. Everything was gray and dirty, and there was no one walking around. It was absolutely like a ghost town. So I'm on this big interstate expressway, and I missed my turn to get off at the Pontchartrain Causeway. And I, therefore, had to just keep going. And I went over a bridge on Route 11 over Lake Pontchartrain. And I came down off of the bridge, and I came into this little town called Eden Isle. And it was just totally destroyed. And it was at that moment that I really appreciated just how devastating this hurricane was. And remember, me being retired, I'd been watching TV for hours every day and saw all these pictures. You still can't appreciate how bad it is. And there was this total destruction. The houses weren't even recognizable as houses. If there was a roof, it was just sitting flat on the ground. There were just piles of rubble and garbage and things everywhere, appliances, clothing, everything you can't imagine. And it was such an emotional experience that I had to stop my van. I had to call my wife just so that I could kind of get back in touch with something normal. And that's an impression that I think people have when they really see it. It's not the same as seeing it in a picture or on TV. So I saw terrible destruction all along the Gulf Coast between New Orleans, Slidell, and all the way across to Biloxi, where you and your people were. And I saw terrible destruction. But you have to be there to appreciate just how bad it is, because when you turn in 360 degrees, it's all around you. I don't know how you describe to people how bad it is without them actually seeing it.
I've had the same exact problem, and it really is just all-encompassing. And one thing that we're trying to get to students is that it's not like before, where if something happens to one person's house, their neighbors are there. It happened to their neighbors, that everyone. It hit across the board, rich, poor, you know, good homes, bad homes. They're all largely destroyed or at least damaged severely, and there's just not enough hands to go around right now.
Yeah, one of the things that I discovered very early on down there, when you spend even a short time, you've always got a story of loss that's worse than any that you've seen before. In other words, somebody says, you know, I lost everything in my house. And then you see where they've lost their house. If somebody else has lost their house. Or if somebody's lost their house, somebody else has lost a family member. But what I learned very quickly is that any loss is a serious loss to the person that lost it. And it's very important, I think, that we realize that there were just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that suffered losses. And to them, whether it was just their car or their house or, God forbid, a family member, to them, that loss is really, really serious. And those people are still working on those losses. They're still going through. Some of them haven't even recognized to this day just how significant the loss is, because there's still hundreds of thousands that haven't been back there to see where they used to live. And as I'm sure you've heard on TV and in the newspapers, some of these people, when they do go back, they're still finding people that are still in these houses and other buildings. So this is something that's ongoing, and it's going to go on for a very long period of time.
And I would just add to that even some of the people who are there physically have gone through such an emotionally destructive period that they don't even understand their losses yet anyways.
A real quick story. We were working with this pharmacist down there that had five families that worked for him that had lost absolutely everything. And just recently, about a week or so ago, we were talking to people down there, and the pharmacist saw one of the employees. Now, this is one of the employees that we worked with when we were down there, and we took a trailer down so that she and her family have a place to live. She was sitting at her desk, and she was just kind of hanging her head at her desk, not doing anything. And the pharmacist went over, and he said, Sally, what's the matter? And she says, I just want to go home. And the pharmacist had to say to her, Sally, that's just not going to happen. Your house is no longer there. And so this person was still trying to cope with the idea that got a home to go to. So they have to build a new home someplace. And so they're still trying to just cope with the understanding the loss that they've suffered. So emotionally, it takes a toll, not only on the people that are there, but, you know, the relief and rescue workers that go down there. It's a very emotional experience, and I hope people appreciate that it's emotional, but it's good for the relief workers because they feel like they're doing something very meaningful. But it is an emotional thing, too. It's very, very difficult for people to handle this extent of loss.
Yeah, it sure is. I coming back, I mean, when we all got back here, I think it was emotionally draining, and for a good couple days, I think that while I was back here physically, I was still thinking more, man, I wish I could be down there. And for the people who are going down, there's some emotional, whatever you want to call it, trauma that you're going through.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much. I think this is a good stopping point for this portion of the interview, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay.